Just wanted to make sure. I'm going to have to be measuring how y'all. I just came from speaking to about 20 something teenagers, so we'll see how your behavior is tonight. I'm going to grade it. Y'all should do better. They really were good, so the pressure is on. But anyway, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started. Father, I thank you for your marvelous grace, and I thank you that you didn't put us here to just collect dust, that you have a purpose and plan for every one of our lives. The problem is we do not order our lives around you. We tend to ask you to follow us. And so, Father, as we talk about how to live a productive life tonight, help us to look and see whether or not we have the proper margins in our lives that can help us do that. Every single person in this room is valuable, and every single person in this room has something to contribute to the kingdom of God. So be with me tonight. Help me to do a good job of explaining these spiritual truths. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're continuing a series on living with margins. And basically, if you don't develop margins in your life, and that are markers to keep you from constantly going, from constantly hurrying, if you don't develop margins in your life, you're probably not going to produce much spiritual fruit. And, you know, you're going to be active. You're going to be busy. You may be going to church a lot. You may be doing a lot of different things. But if you don't have spiritual margins in your life, you probably are going to be totally stressed out. You'll probably feel like you're constantly under pressure. And that's not really how God wants us to live. Most people, I think, personally, most people want to live their lives in a way that makes a difference. But time and time again, I see people who say that they want to make a difference, but they get so sidetracked, so busy doing things that they are not able to accomplish what Christ wants them to do, and they're not able to bear much fruit. And we need to understand that you weren't saved. You weren't saved in order to go to heaven only. You were saved to bear fruit now. And spiritual fruit is really what we're going to talk about tonight. A awesome verse that you can look up. It's a good verse to many people have this verse as a life verse to give them guidance how they are to live their lives as a believer is John chapter 15 verse 8. And I love this verse. I love John chapter 15, period. It's an incredible verse about how to bear fruit. And you see, we want to live productive lives. We want to accomplish things. But if we do not allow Christ to be in that, we may accomplish things, but we miss the thing that He wants us to do the most, which is to produce fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 8, it says this, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear," and if you have your Bible, circle, "much fruit." This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, His purpose for your life, even if you're not a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, His purpose for your life is that you would bear much fruit. And I'll explain what fruit is later on. But he goes on to say this, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. That verse can give you guidance for how to live your life. Basically, he says three things. First of all, bearing fruit or being productive brings glory to God. Now, I just try to be logical sometimes. Just think about this. If Jesus Christ died and saved you, and you don't do anything but collect dust, what good does that do for God? I mean, let's just cut to the chase. I mean, you know, to be saved and do nothing has never been a part of God's plan for your life. It always has been to bear fruit, because when people look at you, they see this fruit in your life and they go, man, that's not the normal person from Mount Ida. And bearing fruit is something that we as believers should be doing, because when they look at your life and you're producing spiritual fruit, they go, they're different. Why are they different? Why are they living the way they live? So number one, bearing fruit brings glory to God. The second thing is that bearing fruit shows that I am a disciple. You know, people say, well, I'm on a church roll somewhere. Who cares? You can be on a church roll, but who cares? What I do care about is that you're producing fruit, because if you're producing fruit, people are going to go, oh, they're one of those kind. Not a Christian who goes, but a Christian who produces fruit. And so bearing fruit shows, hey, listen, you can tell people all day long, I'm a good Christian, but your life shows it. Or doesn't. And so we need to understand that being productive is that we bear fruit, and when we bear fruit, people go, oh, that's what it means. I wish people were coming and saying, hey, y'all are so different than us. Y'all bear fruit. But a lot of times we're no different than they are. Then here's the third thing. God wants me to bear much fruit. A few years ago, when we were living in Louisiana, we went and I knew better than to do this. But we went and bought blueberry bushes. And they had told us that we could put blueberry bushes in our front kind of area in our yard. And they'd be pretty. And they would, if you watered them enough, you'd have blueberries. And that was a problem if you have to be responsible. Because I'm not very responsible sometimes. But, you know, I got those blueberries. I planted them. I watered them real good for about a week. Second week, not as good. Third week, probably worse. And you know what? They were a worthless bush because they didn't produce blueberries. Now, I'm not saying it was the blueberry bush's fault. I'm saying that I bought them to produce much fruit, and they produced hardly any fruit, and I'd been better off with flowers that were growing in my flower bed instead of blueberry bushes that had one or two little bitty ones on there. And you see, that's the thing, is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, God doesn't want you just to be a sporadic bush like I had. He wants you to bear much fruit. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. So, bearing fruit brings glory to God. Bearing fruit shows that you're a disciple. And bearing fruit, God wants you to bear much fruit. Now, in John 15 is a great passage. Verse 16, again, he emphasizes this fruitfulness. I want people to know Christ and be fruitful, not go to church. Now, going to church is great, and I want people to go to church, but I want them to bear fruit. And look what he says in John 15, verse 16. Jesus said this. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and what? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. There it is again. He chose you to go and bear spiritual fruit, which we'll talk about in a second. And then he goes on to say this. Not only are you to bear fruit, but you are to bear fruit that will last. And the kind of fruit that, you know, that we should be striving for as Christians is that kind of fruit that lasts. Like, I just spent 30 minutes with teenagers. If I can just get a couple of them who don't know Christ to know Christ and to grow and to be changed, man, that's fruit that lasts. I don't care so much about the numbers as I do the fruit producing. And Christ chose us, and He chose us to bear fruit. And that is what is missing so many times in our culture today. People think, well, it's going to church, and going to church is good, and it's reading your Bible. But if going to church and reading your Bible and praying doesn't produce any fruit, something's wrong. Two truths about this fruit bearing. Number one, bearing fruit is the purpose of my salvation. And you look at John, like those verses we just looked at, bearing fruit is the purpose of my salvation. And see, I grew up in the 70s where the preacher was telling me I was going to go to hell, and I would have if I would have died. But I never once had a preacher tell me, say, hey, the purpose of your life is to bear fruit, to be different, to be changed. It was all about not going to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell, but I didn't know what else to do. So I thought, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. And those are great disciplines, but bearing fruit is what we're saved to do. And yet so many times we don't know that. And so bearing fruit is the purpose of your salvation. If someone was asked you, why are you saved? I'm saved to bear fruit now. Now, you don't have to worry about death and you're going to heaven. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying it has a now factor that many people miss. And then the second thing is a truly productive life is one where the fruit lasts. You know, you can be a parent and you can make all your focus about sports. You can make it about education. You can make it about all these different things. But if it's not about knowing Christ and producing fruit, you've missed the most important part of it. Because there will come a day where your trophies won't matter anymore. There will come a day when all the stuff that mattered doesn't matter anymore. And when you're a parent and you're about to draw your last breath, the thing that matters is that my kid knows the truth. And I'll see them someday. I tell my kids that all the time. They call it going dark. I said, kids, they're older. What I really care about, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care about a lot of stuff. I care that you know Christ. Because it's the only thing that's going to last. And so bearing fruit is so very, very important. Now, what is fruit? Well, there's four kinds of fruits that are mentioned in the Scripture. The first is the fruit of repentance. In Matthew chapter 3, let me just read it to you. Matthew chapter 3, I love this verse. John the Baptist is preaching, and in the New International Version, it says this. It says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. What was happening is John the Baptist was out there preaching a radically different message than the religious establishment was wanting to hear. And they started coming out to hear what he was all about. And he looked at them and he might have called them vipers and other ugly names because he didn't like them because they had a lot of religion, but they didn't have a lot of relationship. And they started coming out to him and he looked at them and he said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, change. And this is one of the things I keep seeing over and over in their scripture again. Change. If you're saved, change. You're different because of Christ. Not to be saved. Some people try to live the life to be saved. No, you're saved to produce fruit. He does it all, but it's called the fruit of repentance. I love the way the New Living Translation, it doesn't call it fruit, but I love the way it says in the New Living Translation. Think about this verse. Wake up to this verse and try to live it every day. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. So there is a fruit of repentance, changed lives, where you are going one direction and you turn and go the other direction. You are not going towards God, you're going towards God. And so the fruit of repentance is one of the fruits that every single one of you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, should have. Repentance. And prove who you belong to by the way you live. The second kind of fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, we've all memorized the song. Well, I didn't. My wife had it memorized. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Now, it's interesting. When you read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he's going to talk about fruit. And it's under, you need to understand, he doesn't call it the fruits of the Spirit. It's only called singular fruit because it's all available for us. You know, if you go to the grocery store like me, you pick and choose what fruits you want, right? Well, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should have all these. These are available to you. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? It says in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces, not you, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. What are the things that He wants to develop in our lives? Number one, love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, go through that list and say, okay, do I have joy? Do I have gentleness? That is what God, that's the kind of fruit God wants to produce in your life. Not just one, all of them. Now, you know, I'm better at some than the others, and at different times I'm better than at other times. Patience, not a real good fruit of mine. I'm always having to work on patience. Kindness, I can be kind. Boy, our world needs people who would be kind. And so we need to have the fruit of the Spirit. That's the kind of fruit that you're saved to produce. The third kind of fruit is the fruit of leading another person to Christ. A lot of times we don't think of that as a fruit, but it is. Every single one of us who is a believer can and should lead other people to Christ. Now, they have to accept Christ on their own, but as believers, we need to lead other people to Christ so they can become followers too. You know, horses produce horses. Humans produce humans. Christians should produce Christians. That's fruit. Now, it's funny because I had my quiet time this morning in John chapter 4. I'm reading through the Bible, and to this morning I'm reading about the woman at the well. Everybody knows about the woman at the well. And she was a pretty rough woman, and yet Christ came to her and did a miracle. But in chapter 4, verse 36, I read this morning, and I go, this is exactly the fruit I'm talking about. Look at verse 36. It says, the harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Fruit. What is fruit? Well, fruit is those qualities of the Spirit. Fruit is repentance, but fruit is also helping other people find Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So that's the fruit of bringing someone to Christ. And then the last one is the fruit of ministry to others. Listen, God saved you to do something. Whether it's passing out bulletins, helping with children, helping with youth, helping with the sound, He has given you gifts and talents for a purpose, and that is to be used within the church. And when you use your ministry, when you do ministry within the church for the body of Christ, that is fruit. And there's not like important fruit and less important, it's just fruit. If you welcome people in the name of Christ, that's just as good as teaching a class. Everybody can do something. Everybody, those people that served us dinner tonight, we got to eat the fruit, literally. I mean, that's a group of people that get together to feed all of us. And I am so incredibly grateful for them. And so those are the kind of fruits that should be happening. You should be using your gifts and talents for the Lord. You should be repenting and being the kind of person. You should be having the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and you should be sharing your faith. Those are always the fruit that we strive to have. Now, the bad news is this. Do you realize how serious it is to not bear fruit? Listen to this. Luke chapter 13, verse 7. Jesus said, I've been coming to look for fruit on this tree and still haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? You know, it's pretty harsh. If you look in there a couple times in the scripture, Jesus got very upset when the fig tree didn't produce fruit. Why? Because it's supposed to. And I know, now he's not going to take your salvation, you're not saved by your works, but when he doesn't see any fruit in your life, he's going, I saved them, what in the world is wrong? It's serious business not to produce fruit. Never were you created by the Creator, born again, to be fruitless. Just like that tree at my house, you want to cut it down, get rid of it, because it's not doing what its purpose is. So, that's what the fruit is. God wants us bearing fruit. So what are some of the secrets to having a fruitful or productive life? Number one, you must cultivate deep roots. Your ability to bear fruit and to be what God wants you to be is only going to happen when you have deep roots. Listen to what it says in this passage. I want to say it's Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. If there's no fruit without deep roots, shallow Christianity will not produce fruit. That big oak tree over here, it's got some massive roots. I'd like to talk to that oak tree. There's two of them on the side of my house, and just ask them about life in Mount Ida. They've been there a long time, and you know why they've been there a long time? Because oak trees have deep roots. They have lots of roots. Deep roots is so important. If you don't have those deep roots, if you don't get into God's Word, and I know y'all think I'm a preacher, and I am, but the only way to have deep roots is to make Jesus your focus and to read your Bible. And not just to read it, but let it get into you. And so you have to have, because here's what I can promise you. You're going to have droughts come to your life. You're going to have hard times come. No one is exempt from droughts and hard times. So don't think you're special. But what the difference between those who make it and survive it and those who don't are the ones that have deep roots. It's just a matter of fact, you're going to have droughts where you feel abandoned, and you're going to have times where you're the heat is of life is on you. But I promise you, if your roots are deep, you'll survive. And as a matter of fact, you might thrive when you come out of the drought or the hot weather. Because you see, for the Christian, it's all about having those roots. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3 says, and I love this, the righteous cannot be uprooted. The righteous cannot be uprooted. So if your roots are in Christ, you can't be uprooted. Somebody told me, do y'all know what one of the most difficult trees to get rid of is? Like if you want to get rid of it, huh?
Mimosa tree.
I don't know, maybe. I've heard banana trees. I've heard banana trees, you can cut it down, you can burn it down, you can do it. The only way to get rid of it, because that's how they make it during the storms and the floods. The only way to get rid of a banana tree, I've been told, is you have to uproot it. You have to get all the roots. If you leave a little bit of the root, you're in trouble. But the beautiful picture here is if your roots are in Christ, if your roots are in the Scripture, you can't be uprooted. And that's important to remember. So how do you do that? Well, how do you grow deeper? Another Scripture. It says they find joy. This Scripture is Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says they find joy in obeying. Listen. Obeying God's Word, doing what God tells you to do, ought to bring joy because it's going to protect your life, not mess it up. All the mistakes I've made are when I don't listen to Him. Or someone else doesn't. It says they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They are like trees, and there's that picture. They are like trees that grow beside a stream that bear fruit at the right time. If your life is anchored in Scripture, if your life is anchored in Scripture, you will be rooted. And it says, and whose leaves do not dry up. It says they succeed in everything they do. So being rooted in God's Word, in the presence of God, is how you have stability, and it's how you produce fruit. Another one that I love is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, I like that Lord part, master, boss, live in union with Him. Now here's the part I love this. Keep your roots deep in Him. Keep your roots deep in Him. Build your lives on Him and become stronger in your faith as you were taught. Listen, the way to have deep roots is to put Jesus Christ in the center of everything you do, to stay in His Word. As you do that consistently, every time you listen to God's Word, read God's Word, study God's Word, memorize, meditate on God, every time you do that, the roots go a little further down. Now, the reason so many people are getting blown over by life, many of them are believers in Christ, is because they don't have deep roots. All they have is what Bill said, or what their Sunday school. No. You need to have deep roots. And that comes from a personal time with Jesus in His Word. Second thing. Oh, this one's good. If you're going to be productive and bear fruit, this is the one you probably will not do. I hate to tell you this, but you're probably not going to do it. You must eliminate the weeds in your life. You must eliminate the weeds in your life. Now, you know what weeds are? A sign of neglect. Go look at my yard. My yard, my flower bed hasn't been touched since last year. And you know the thing about it, weeds grow without your care. Now, you know, plants and vegetable and all that, you have to take care of that stuff, right? Weeds, they just grow. And you know, that's, every time I think about having a garden, I think about weeds. That means I'm supposed to keep the weeds out, right? Isn't that what it means? Because the weeds, now think about it this way. Jesus told a parable, and He told it in all four Gospels, and it was about the different soils and the condition. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, listen to this. It says, "The seed is the Word of God." Okay? "The seed that falls among the weeds stands for those who hear, but," always circle "but" in the Scripture, "but the worries and riches and pleasures of this life crowd in and choke them and their fruit." Man, people say, well, and I hate to be insensitive, but I am. I'm busy. I don't have time. When are you going to have time to serve God? You're never going to have time. Everybody's busy. The problem is, in many cases, is you're not pulling the weeds out, and so you don't have time. Or you're so worried, you know, the worries of life. That's one of the weeds that gets in there and chokes out. If you're worried all the time, you're not going to be very productive in producing fruit. The pleasures of this life. How many people could be here, but they're there? I mean, I grew up on a lake, Lake Texoma. And I know what it's like to live in a lake town. We had people who lived on the lake. They're on the weekend. They'd say, well, I've worked hard all week long. I'm going to spend my time on the lake. And so every Sunday, where do you find them? On the lake. But someday I'm going to go to church. Someday I'm going to get involved. When's someday going to happen? Because you have kids, then they grow, and then you have grandkids. When's someday going to happen? The pleasures of life. Listen, I can't tell you the number of families that are choked out because of sports. You said, Bill, you always talk about it. It's because it's always a problem. Not sports are the problem, but the amount of time that it takes. People chasing the riches, the dollars, the materialism, and all those things, they just choke out. It just chokes out. The productivity, the fruit. How many people, and I think people don't think about it. Do you want to be fruitful? Do you want your family to be fruitful? You say, oh yeah, God created us, He saved us. Well, then you're going to have to pull some weeds. And even if you're retired, you have weeds to pull that keep you from being involved in God's work. There's no excuse. Because one, there's no retirement in the Scripture. We're to serve Him, and yet I find that those weeds, the too busy, my job, someday. One guy said this way, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. It's just barren. And so Eliminate the weeds. Get rid of them. The third thing, I must cooperate with God's pruning in my life. You know, there are some times where I'm not good at pruning. How many of you have ever had knockout roses? Anybody have them? I didn't believe them. When I was in Louisiana, they said, oh, man, you can just whack those knockout roses way back. It won't bother them. I whacked them way back, and they grew back the next year just you have to constantly whack them. Matter of fact, I have some that need whacking right now. But then I started thinking they're alive. But I'm starting to think, who cares? It's too big. I haven't cut them. But the thing is, there are times in your life, heartaches. It could be illness. It could be problems. It could be kid problems, job problems. Whatever your problems, there are times when God tries to prune us, tries to slow us down in order that we can reconnect with Him and be what He wants us to be. Honestly, 2 years ago, I thought it was COVID. I thought, man, thank you, God. Everybody's attention is going to be, they're not going to take sports so serious. They're not going to take all this other stuff so serious. COVID is an answer from God because it's going to slow us down. And guess what? Exactly, Philip. They're maybe faster now than they were before. And so you've got to understand that there are times when God's trying to prune you. Listen to John 15 verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He lops off every branch that doesn't produce and He prunes those branches that bear fruit for even larger crops. And that's the cool thing. Mums do that a little bit too. Man, you'll see me out there, I'll get energized. I want my mums, so I'll get out there and I'll get scissors and I'll start cutting off all the little heads, you know. And my hope is they're going to come back, but then what happens is my scissors get dull and I give up halfway through. And so, but I do know that if you cut them back, they come back pretty, right? Isn't that right? Somebody tell me who's done it. But you got to prune them. You got to prune them. And pruning is something you either can fight God with or you can join Him. And if you join Him, He'll prune your life and you can be more productive. So every year, here's another thing. You ought to look at your life and say, okay, I keep adding, I keep adding, I keep adding. What do I need to cut out? You know, maybe it's the TV. Maybe you're going to do more outdoor activities. We'll cut the TV off. Cooperate with God in His pruning. And then the last thing, and I'm done. I must patiently await for and expect a harvest. Now, you may want to bear fruit, and you know that you're saved to bear fruit, and you want to do all this, but here's the thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. You have to put your roots down. You have to prune. You have all these things you need to do. But the thing I find with many people is they want to change and produce fruit now. And it doesn't happen that way. It takes time. Let me give you two examples. John chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, the thing about planting seeds, I hate planting seeds. One of my favorite flowers are tulips, but I've never had tulips in my entire life. You know why? Huh?
They take forever.
They take forever. And you have to do it early for it to come next year. My problem is I don't like to do anything I have to wait on. My favorite flower that I like to decorate with are pansies because they're already bloomed and you just put them down. The bad news about pansies, they don't come back. And so you have to put them down every year. But I've always thought, man, I'd love to have, you know, there's feathered tulips, there's this kind of it's like painting. I want to paint. My ideal of painting is to paint the entire room in one day. And to do it all, I can't stand to do part of it and have to wait till the next day or the next week. I'm not a patient person. I tell you, that fruit needs to grow. And so in your Christian life, you may want to bear much fruit. And you need to understand, if you will do what I said the very first thing and you will develop deep roots, you will bear fruit. But it's going to take time. Jesus said it this way in John 15:5. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." What's the main word there? Remain. People have good intentions. I'm going to read my Bible for about a couple weeks. You've got to, to get the roots, you've got to put some margins in your life where you don't miss that time with God. Define that time. Listen, 5 minutes. 5 minutes in God's Word and prayer can make a huge difference in your life. So, God's purpose for you as a believer is to bear much fruit. I hope you will. You don't get it by going to church, you get it by putting your roots down. Any questions? As long as they're not hard, I might try to answer them. By this time, my mind is shot. Yes, Beth.
What if you have a really hard time understanding the Bible?
What if you... Hey, welcome to the club.
Right.
There are parts of it that are... That's one reason it's important to be around other believers. I learn as much from our men on Monday nights as I do anywhere, because different people share different ideas on... Understand there are some books in the Bible that are good for reading. There are some books of the Bible that are good for studying. I would not be reading through Leviticus or Revelation. I would stick to the New Testament. I read John chapter 4. My problem today is I had to read chapter 3 and 4. And there was so much stuff there. That's why I don't like reading through the Bible in years too much. But if you read in the New Testament, but I wouldn't read the Gospels one after another, because then you kind of say, I already know what's coming. I've read it before. You know, there are reading plans. And then when you don't know something, circle it. Ask me, ask somebody. Say, okay, I don't get this.
Literally from Genesis on,
because
I've never done
it. And that's real good till you get to...
I was in Genesis. You know, the weird chapter.
Huh?
I was there with a very weird chapter in Genesis, and I was just like, I don't know if I want to finish this now.
Is that the one about the rape and everybody? That's the one right before Sunday's... Yeah. Well, and there's a lot there, and there's some scriptures of the Bible, some portions of the Bible that studying is preferred over devotional reading. And Leviticus is a fascinating book, but you're not Jewish, and you should go slow, and it's very meaningful, and you need to study it, and a lot of times that means a commentary, and it would be really nice if you had a Jewish friend, but most of us don't in Mount Ida. But
little neighborhood in New York, just like,
huh?
Show up that neighborhood in New York.
Yeah. Somebody asked me, I think it was Sam asked Monday night, what does Hasidic mean? Because they're called the Hasidic Jews. And it comes, I think that's, they don't speak Hebrew, they speak Yiddish. And I think that's the Yiddish pronunciation of the Hebrew word, which means kindness, charity. And so they are supposed to be the kindness of God Jews versus the unkind God of Jews. I don't know.
Maybe instead of me actually trying to read the book like a book.
Okay. Here's my assignment for you.
Okay.
Just read James.
Okay.
Slowly. And then after you get through James, go to Philippians.
Okay.
And tell me if you have trouble understanding that. And read it slow. You may not, you know. Good question, though. Anybody else? But did any of y'all like me grow up not knowing that the purpose of my salvation was to bear fruit, the purpose of my salvation, I thought, was to keep me from going to hell? I that's just all I knew. Hellfire and brimstone. And I believe in hell. But I didn't know I didn't know I was supposed to bear fruit probably till I was in my 30s. Because nobody ever told me. Hey, Bill, you're supposed to bear fruit. And then I would have gone, well, what's fruit? Well, I told you what fruit is. Any other questions? Thank you for being here. Let me have a word of prayer. I'm going to pray that you will start getting roots and bear some fruit. No roots, no fruit. Okay? Lord, thank you for this time. Help us, because that's why you saved us. Help us to seek to understand your word, to be patient with ourselves, but most of all, to understand that you've called us to be different. We ask this in Jesus' name.